Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Pinken Channels. I'm Connor Southwell. And we are all, I think, looking ahead to a long trip to Plymouth, whether you are watching and following the game from afar or whether you're making the long trip down to Devon. And, you know, we always like to, or try to, before games, catch up with a player who has a foot in both camps. And I'm delighted this week to have spoken to David Fox, former, obviously, Norwich City player, but also spent the last few years of his career in Plymouth. Very successful down there, similarly to Norwich, won promotion and is very highly regarded. And it was good to get his thoughts ahead of Norwich City's trip to Home Park. We spoke about his time at Plymouth, his time at Norwich, but also his expectations for the game on Saturday. Hope you enjoy.
So just a few questions on the game Saturday, I guess, to start. I mean, for you, is it obviously two clubs that you played for, that you won promotion with as well? So I can imagine it's a really special game for you when these two meet.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's sort of, it was probably a million miles away from each other when I was at Plymouth, sort of League Two, and Norwich would have been in and around the Premier League at that time and bouncing up and down. So yeah, two very sort of different places at the time. But yeah, Plymouth have done great to get to where they are. I think they found it tough, as I think a lot of teams have to make that jump, find it when they go up into the Championship, and did great last year just to stay up. And then, you know, they're finding it tough again this year, which I think you're going to do with the calibre of clubs that are in this Championship. So yeah, they, you know, it's tough for them. And then, yeah, like I say, Norwich is sort of I think they're going through a little bit of a transition at the minute in terms of what they have been and where they're going to be in the next few years. I mean, yeah, it's a club that's been bouncing up and down and been up to the Premier League a few times. But now with, you know, those parachute payments and things not happening anymore, you have to do something a little bit different. And I think that's what they're looking to do.
Yeah, and obviously you've seen Norwich a few times this year with Radio Norfolk and various stuff as well. I mean, technically, yeah, there is still a chance, a very slim outside chance that they can make the top six. But I mean, what have you made of them when you've seen them this season? It's probably been quite up and down, I'd imagine, from the games that you've seen.
Yeah, it has, absolutely. I think when they've been, you know, when they've been good, they've been very good, and it's so pleasing on the eye. And when it works, and they sort of hit the straps, and you know, what you can certainly see what they're trying to do and the way they're trying to play, absolutely. And then obviously on the flip side of that, there's probably been that little bit of naivety and sort of moments where just a little bit of naivety and experience, call it what you want, just sort of let them down in those important moments. And, you know, the last live game I went to was the Blackburn away one, where, you know, to beat that, to score a 90... what was it, 91st minute winner and still not win. It was a tough one to take, and it probably showed a little bit of where they're at. But still, there's plenty of things that are alive. There's plenty of real positives that you can see. And I think, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, with a season under his belt, the manager next season will be able to put a few more bits in place that he wants.
Yeah, I don't know how much you saw the West Brom game on Saturday, but clearly, as you said, and the Blackburn game is an example, they've dropped a lot of points from winning positions most in the league, and whether that's an inexperienced thing or whatnot. But he's kind of changed it, went to be a little bit more pragmatic. It was a 3-5 at the back, and they ground out a 1-0 win. I mean, sometimes, and you know, you've played Championship football, you have to go down that route, don't you, for all the sort of positive, nice football. You have to balance that with getting results as well, particularly when you are kind of transitioning to keep the fans on side.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing gets the fans on side more than just winning games, and I'm sure they're not really too fussed how it happens. Do you know what I mean? I like what you're trying to do. I like that there is that clear way of him playing and what he wants. But also what you need to realise is that for 46 games of the season or whatever it is, other teams are throwing stuff at you as well, and you've got to have the tools to cope with all the different challenges that the Championship brings. And like you say, that might be going to a 5 at times. It might be, yeah, just sort of going and get a little bit against what you believe in, just to sort of try and get over the line. But yeah, look, there's certainly been a clear direction that the club's going to go down, and I like to think that they stick with the manager. I like to think he's done enough to show that when things do go well, you know, they're a very tough team to beat. And yeah, like you say, I hope that there's that little bit of time, that little bit of backing that he needs, and the experience that I'm sure the manager will get from this season will be massive for him next year.
Well, what sort of game would you expect on Saturday? Because clearly Plymouth are in a position where points are key to them, and I know they've sort of changed a little bit under the new manager than what they were like again with Wayne Rooney. I guess for Norwich, they're going to go into the game as favourites, and that is a shift in mindset from sort of the approach last weekend. So is that easy to do when you've kind of set up to be pragmatic and have less of the ball to then maybe having lots of it and trying to break a team down? I can imagine that's quite a different mindset that you need.
Yeah, it will. I'm sure Norwich will go there and dominate the ball. I think that's what they do at most places anyway, and I can't see it being any different down in Plymouth. But like you say, Plymouth do have that little bit of resilience about them in terms of the signings they made in January, the manager coming in. They are a little bit more tough to beat. They are a little bit more... I'd probably say a little bit too over-pragmatic, a little bit too... defensive, but you know, they had that initial bounce where they won, you know, they won a few home games, they beat Liverpool. You know, it's always a tough place to go, you know, put down to Plymouth. It's a long trip, you sort of feel like you're in the middle of nowhere, and the place does get bouncing if the Plymouth fans can get on board, and if they give them something to cheer at, it can be a tough place to go. And you know, they have picked up, you know, albeit not so recently, but they have picked up some decent results at home. I think that's certainly, if they feel like they're going to stay up, they're going to have to turn it around. And, you know, it'll be their home form probably that'll dictate whether they stay up or not.
Yeah, and I can imagine, and you mentioned it, their home park, because geographically they are where they are. They've got obviously a really strong fan base. I can imagine that is some place to play when you're on the right side of it. And equally, when you're against it, it can be quite challenging.
It can, yeah. Like you say, you feel like you're a long way away, and I'm sure the Norwich fans will travel in the numbers like they do, but it is a tough place to go. It's sort of a compact pitch, and the fans, they do make some good noise, and you know, they fill it out as well. That's the big thing. This sort of holds whatever it holds, 14,000-15,000, but you're pretty sure it's going to be full. And they will make some noise if the team gives them something to shout about. But yeah, look, they're in search of a little bit of momentum. You got a good point away at Watford in the last game. So they're going to hope that, look, it's probably a similar one in some ways to Norwich in terms of them trying to stay up. It's probably a little bit similar to Norwich trying to get in the playoffs. It's not impossible, but they're going to have to sort of get going now and get on a run that'll keep them up. And similar to Norwich, you're going to have to start on a run that'll get them in and around that playoffs.
Yeah, and just before sort of we reflect on your spell at both the clubs, so I wanted to ask you a bit about Marcelino Nunez, because clearly player in your position, I'm sure you've seen a lot of him. What have you made of him this season? Because I know there's been injuries that have hampered it a little bit, but there's been some really good signs from him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the big point. I was going to mention that before he said the injuries. A few of the games I have done, he's not been available, and it's been frustrating. I mean, you could say that for a few of the lads as well, just in terms of the injuries. And at one point, they were really low on numbers and became difficult. Once he's fit, he's as good as you're going to find around that level. Certainly makes things tick. I like the way he plays under the manager and what the manager wants from him. I think that does suit him. Sometimes you'll see him getting on the ball, but also, you know, making those long runs in behind to stretch the play, which then allows other players to get on the ball. I think he is a really good fit for what the manager wants. And, you know, look, he's a player that's been there a few years now. And if he can stay fit and stay amongst, he's a really important player.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we mentioned kind of a key part of the season, and you mentioned keeping players fit. That's going to be as important as anything. It's something that Norwich haven't really done this season. Sargent's been out. Obviously, McLean's been out with suspension and illness as well. Keeping the key players fit has been probably a big issue, and maybe is a key reason as to why they probably aren't closer to that top six at the moment.
Yeah, I think when they've got everyone fit and firing, then they're a match for anyone. But it's probably not been enough of those times where you can say that. The games I've come to, the couple of the away ones where even just look at the team sheet, you just think they're going to probably be a little bit short here, just in terms of what the championship is and the firepower that other teams have. It's just going to be difficult. You need your best players. Borja Sainz, so how many games did he miss? I know. A lot of it's self-inflicted from him, but still it's the same sort of principle where if you're going to do anything, if you're going to be successful, unless you're one of those teams with the big parachute payments and the money and all that sort of stuff, if you're one of those other clubs that are knocking on the door, you need everyone fit or the majority of your players fit for most of the season, otherwise it becomes difficult.
Definitely. Just to reflect on your time at Norwich, and clearly you were part of that team which Norwich fans absolutely adore for what they achieved and that double promotion. I can't believe it was as long ago as it was now. But your sort of reflections on your time at Norwich, I can imagine they were pretty much all positive.
They were. I was very, very lucky to be there in a period where, you know, fans still talk about it and remember it, and that's all you can really ask for is to go somewhere and be part of something that people still talk about. And yeah, it was an unbelievable successful period for the club in terms of where it was at as well. In you know, going down to League One, so for them to be in and around, you know, top end of the Championship, the Premier League, and competing, yeah, look, it was a great time for me, especially under Paul Lambert. Changed a little bit when Chris Hughton come in, but look, that's football. It happens. Wasn't his cup of tea, but that was fine. Don't sort of spoil the time I had there. It was a great time, and I feel very lucky that, like I say, I feel very lucky that I was at the club in a period that is well remembered.
And clearly, obviously, you were in that team under Paul Lambert that beat Norwich 7-1 as well. So I can imagine on that day, if you'd have told anyone what the next couple of years in your life would have looked like, you probably wouldn't have believed them.
Absolutely not. I mean, and then for him to leave Colchester for Norwich a couple of weeks later after that was an unbelievable moment. Didn't see it coming. I don't think anyone did. And obviously we knew Norwich were going to be a top team, but as it turned out, they won the league. Just that first game was just one of those that, you know, just happens, I don't know, once in a career, I guess, where those sorts of moments happen. And yeah, it was a real sort of turning point for the club. I think they probably had to feel like they probably hit rock bottom there. And then it's been nothing but success, really, in terms of where they're at now and in and around those top Championship places and Premier League. So yeah, look, it was a strange game, but one that probably, you know, put sort of, you know, one of those defining moments in a game and in a career, and it sort of how things turned out for myself and everything after that was nothing but positive things.
And I mean that Championship season, what was that like to be a part of? Because I mean, for you, it was. Personally, a very good season. It was 10 assists, I think, if I'm right in saying it. I mean, you had a lot of very good players in front of you, but is that kind of your best season, do you think, in football?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, we had I remember the first day of pre-season, the manager, like, we just got promoted from League One, And there was no right, we'll consolidate, we'll try and just sort of, it was like, we'll go again. And it was refreshing to hear. And he, the manager, was really quick to just talk about all the time about momentum. And we had it with the players, we had it with the fans. The fans were really on board with what we're trying to do. And once we got the place going, we were really hard to stop. And yeah, it was brilliant. I had a few assists, most of those probably from set plays, because we had a little bit. I thought that team had just a little bit of everything. We could fight if we had to fight. We could play when we had to play. We had players that unbelievable technicians, but then we also had some real dogs who would roll the sleeves up. And those tough games, you know, November, December, January time, that would get us results. And you know, we speak now about the style of play and the identity and philosophy. I think, you know, I'd like to think that back then we just had a little bit of everything that could deal with whatever anyone could throw at us and put our mark on it, and we could evolve and change to whatever was needed. And that's full credit to the manager and the coaching staff, because they recruited players and characters that had a little bit of everything. It was a really well put together squad. And yeah, look, it was a great time and a great sort of night down in Portsmouth just to finish it off and get over the line. Yeah, probably if you'd have told me that 12, 18 months ago when I couldn't get a game for Colchester in League One, it was, yeah, the going to the Premier League felt a long, long way away.
But that was part of the success of it, wasn't it? The fact that Paul and obviously those involved in that group managed to put together a group of players that were really hungry to upset the odds to achieve. And you know, obviously you guys carried that into the Premier League. But that was the key to it, how they built that squad and how they identified a lot of those players.
It did. He was, you know, I think everyone needed the manager and everyone needed the club. I think that's always a big thing. No one went there as a stepping stone or thought they were, at the time anyway, or thought they were too big for the club. Everyone was really positive, really glad that they were there. It was a massive jump up for a lot of the lads. And I think once you have that sort of crowd behind you and the expectation, it brings out the best in you. It's something you want as a player, and for a lot of the boys it was perfect. And yeah, it was just like I say, it was a really well put together squad of players, and the staff sort of molded everyone into the same, pointed in the same direction. And it's amazing when you build that momentum and you just keep going and going, and it got us over the line.
You mentioned Portsmouth. It would be remiss of me not to ask you about that pass for Simeon Jackson. I mean, it's where does that rank in terms of your assists and the passes that you've played? It must be right up there. I mean, technically, it's an outstanding pass.
Yeah, it's probably the only one that I get to see every year on the same sort of time. Something always crops up around that time. It felt like it was 2 years ago, but I think it's a bit longer now, unfortunately. But yeah, it was just great that we could get over the line on that day. And yeah, I think that the goal itself, when you actually look back at it, it was just lads just that had played together all season that knew exactly what each other was doing. There was runs out the way to create space for other people. There was a real fluidity to everything about that goal, and it probably summed us up, because you know, we all knew each other's jobs, each other's roles, what everyone would do. We were that sort of well in tune with each other that those sorts of things will happen. And yeah, we managed to get over the line and had a real, yeah, had a great couple of weeks after that. And yeah, it was thoroughly deserved. I think we only lost a couple of games after Christmas. We went on a great run where we were just really hard to beat, and the momentum was with us. And like I say, we were a good bunch of lads that needed what the platform and embrace the platform that the manager gave us.
And playing in the Premier League as well, obviously, clearly a career highlight for all of you, but the fact you were able to take a lot of that spirit and a lot of that sort of mentality into the Premier League, you think about how difficult it is now for Premier League clubs, and clearly the context around it has changed dramatically with money involved and whatnot. But for that group to do what they did in that first year, to go to Spurs and win, to draw at Arsenal, to get a point at Anfield, that spoke a lot about the character and sort of the group that Paul Lambert had built, I think, at the time.
It did, and like I say, once again, he was really clever in the market, and it wasn't like, because we played a lot of a diamond in that season to get promoted, but he knew we couldn't go to places and do that, so we recruited Y players. He brought Morrow in, who can play up front on his own because we might have to go 4-5-1. He brought a bit of pace at the back. Kyle Norton can play right back, left back, so he filled in different positions. So they recruited really well, and something that I think probably has gone away from the modern game now. Well, what we see is that, right, well, we played this way. You know, I'm just thinking, for instance, your Ipswich, your Burnley's, Southampton. It's like, well, we played this way, we'll go and do it again. And it's very, very difficult to do. I think the Premier League's a beast. So what I thought Paul Lambert and the staff were really good at is it was very much horses for courses, and everyone knew that. Some games we would be a little bit expansive, but other games we'd play personnel that would be a bit different and play a bit different. And ultimately, all he was bothered about, the manager, was picking up enough points and going to every game, into every game, thinking we're going to get something here, we're going to get a result. So it was a little bit, I think it's gone a little bit different now. And obviously the way the first team play now at Norwich is probably similar in terms of its philosophy and all those sorts of buzzwords you hear nowadays. Whereas I think back then, I think it was very much, right, well, what do we need for this certain game, and we'll go and do it. So, yeah, look, it was great time. It was unbelievable to be going to those sorts of places. Felt like I say, a couple of times, felt a long way away when you're in the doldrums of League One to be going and playing in those games. But no, we certainly held a put in a good account for ourselves that first season, and it was very very rewarding to be safe with plenty of games to go and to put in a solid first season, really.
Yeah, and then obviously clearly Paul goes to Aston Villa, Chris Hughton comes in. It felt like from the outside that was a big lurch in playing style, really. I know you mentioned that the team was able to do a multitude of things, but Chris, I think, was naturally a little bit more pragmatic, and you know, clearly it ended your spell at the club. I know Grant Holt had a difficult spell with that as well. So, I mean, with hindsight, was it just too much of a lurch, do you think, from one thing to another at that point in time?
I think so. Probably looking back, I think it was very difficult for him because how do you replace someone that's gone back-to-back promotions and a mid-table Premier League finish? It's very, very difficult to follow that. I think a lot of the boys were very much Paul's players in terms of how they responded to the manager. And then for someone to come in that was completely different, it was difficult. For a lot of the lads, I mean, look, he is what he was. You know, he's had a good career, Chris Hughton, and he's managed some big clubs and got big results. So, I think anyone that had come in would have struggled. If I'm honest, just because of that sort of legacy that the manager had left, it's always going to be difficult. But you had players that played with a bit of freedom, that were on the front foot, that wanted to attack, and that's how the club had been built for the last three seasons. Were relentless sort of attacking and keep going till the last, and then the manager, you know, he was very much, no, we don't do that. We sit in and we get behind the ball and we let them have the ball and we wait for it. And it just didn't suit a few of the lads that were probably a lot more used to playing in a different way. But look, that's just football. That's part and parcel of it. That's what happens. And yeah, it's just one of those things.
Yeah, and obviously you went back to Colchester, then to Crewe, and then to Plymouth. I mean, Plymouth, it looked, outside looking in, I know you were very popular down there, but outside looking in, looked like a very successful spell for you, obviously towards the back end of your career. How do you reflect on that time there?
Yeah, I loved it down there. So I grew up in Devon, so I grew up in Exeter, so obviously it's not as random as it sounds to be going all the way down to the other end of the country. I had a few mates down there and I knew the area really well, and I knew what sort of club Plymouth were. So, you know, they were in League Two at the time, just lost in a playoff final. But I remember that I played against Plymouth in the Championship, and I remember sort of back in the day when they are a big club with a big catchment area that were just struggling a little bit. There was the trouble with the ownership and money and things like that. And I think they were just coming out the back end of that. So having had a couple of years at sort of Crewe and Colchester, I think the thought of going somewhere where there was a little bit more expectation, there was a big crowds and a bit more noise around things, it sort of got me going again. And yeah, I had three wonderful years there, played a lot, and you know, became difficult in the end in terms of the travelling and things like that, which was a shame. And yeah, that was sort of the end. At the end of that, then 3 years, that was the end for me. And now, look, I love my time down there. Some great people. Still speak to a few people now, and it's great to see that they've had a little bit of investment in the last few years, and they've managed to you know, get up from League One to the Championship. And I think I do see them as a Championship club. Just be difficult for them for the rest of the season to stay there. But you know, if they do go down, you'd like to think that there'd be enough in place for them to try and get straight back up again.
Yeah, I mean, last couple, but do you see, obviously, you played at Norwich, Plymouth, geographically, they are to the rest of the country and in the middle of nowhere, to be polite.
Yeah.
Do you see a lot of similarities between playing for Norwich and playing for Plymouth in terms of the fan base, the area and that sort of thing?
Absolutely, yeah. I've said this a few times. I always felt there was real similarities between the two, just in terms of that one club city, and everyone in the city, you know, is a Plymouth or Norwich supporter, or know what's going on. You're a long way away from your rivals, which is fine. But there is real similarities, and the two clubs that probably, you know, if there is some success, if there is, you know, signs that things are going well, that they will get, you know, they'll get big numbers to the club. So, yeah, I always felt there was that little bit of similarity in terms of you get real close with your teammates because there's not a lot else going on down there in terms of, you know, a lot of the lads are away from family. So you sort of create that little bond together, which we had down in Norwich and which I certainly had at Plymouth as well. So you do, you know, it's not like some of the clubs here and everyone goes off to the different directions at the end of training. You sort of all stick together and, because there's not a lot of other stuff going on. So, yeah, I did think there were some real similarities between the two. And I say, hopefully things can work out for both of them.
Yeah, and finally, I guess, how do you see it going on Saturday? Like you say, it's two clubs that, if they want to get a playoff charge or a survival charge going, probably both of them need to win this game, really.
Yeah, it needs to start now, I'd say. I think, as I said, I think, I'd like to think that Norwich will probably dominate the ball, but Plymouth can be hard to beat. You saw that in the FA Cup at Liverpool. They're at home, and they're difficult. Probably be 5-4-1. I think they've played a little bit recently, or you know, they might have changed it up. But they'll be tough to play against. They'll be compact. They'll be, you know, probably not quite what Norwich like to play against in terms of, you know, it won't be a football match. It'll probably be a little bit of a battle. So it probably depends on who can impact their style more on the game. So it'll be interesting. Like I say, it's good with a few games to go that both teams have got stuff to play for. So yeah, I'll be looking forward to a good game.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.